Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 76 of Absolutely Intercultural, which today is coming to you from Denmark. We'll be delving into the concept of mateship, a word which I hadn't heard before, but which almost made it into the Australian Constitution in 1999, according to the Wikipedia entry on the word.
And mateship describes a very strong bond between two males, a bond such that one mate would be willing to die for another mate if it came to the crunch. He would support his mate.
We'll eavesdrop on one of the commonest cross-cultural rituals, the "What's that you've put on my plate?" question.
That's called Julian's nightmare, the wits.
It's not a ham.
No, again, silver side top of it on liver paste.
Pate,
really.
Pate, yes, I understand,
And we'll be exploring whether Australian men are as chauvinistic as the stereotype portrays.
And it's the women that run the pubs, not the men.
Yes, there's a definite Aussie down under theme to this podcast, but we'll also be looking back to the last show and forward to forthcoming shows. My name's Anne Fox, and I want to start by going absolutely yours and saying thank you to Alberto and Colette for leaving comments on our blog. If you recall, in the last show, we featured the tapas investigation in León, northern Spain, and this obviously made Alberto homesick, as he's now studying outside of Spain and was in fact a student on a pilot course called Hands-on Learning, which is designed to help students raise their intercultural awareness when they go on foreign internships or semester exchanges. Colette, in Germany, responded with an update on the hands-on learning course, which is now firmly established. So thanks both of you for taking the trouble to visit our website at absolutely-intercultural.com and leaving your comments. If you have a comment about what you hear, a suggestion about what we could do in the future, or even a complaint, then just go to the website and leave us a comment. Better still, you could record a comment and send it to us at contact@absolutely-intercultural.com, and we'll include it in the next show. Kim Dixon is a teacher at Brighton Secondary School in Adelaide, Australia, and he visited Denmark recently on a study tour to find out how we integrate ICT in everyday teaching here. One of the institutions he visited was Grenaa Technical School, where he gave a talk to the high school students. One of the questions after the talk was from a student who wants to visit Australia and wanted advice about where to go. "Make sure you visit the outback and don't just go to the cities," was Kim's advice, and I wondered why. Let's go absolutely bush.
Somebody came up to you after the talk and asked you about going to Australia and travelling around, and one thing you talked about then was that she should make sure that she goes to, well, away from the big cities. Now, what made you say that?
I suppose if you look at the Australian culture 100 years ago, most people lived in the country. Today, most people lived in the city, and if you want some numbers, it's probably over 100 years ago it was 80% in the country, 20% in the big towns. And today that's been reversed around. The Australian culture that has come from the country, or the bush as we say, is a very strong culture. Both the males as farmers and also the females who had to battle in those harsh conditions tended to look to each other for support. So the term mate developed out of that, and mateship describes a very strong bond between two males, a bond such that one mate would be willing to die for another mate if it came to the crunch. He would support his mate so strongly that he could risk death, and that has been carried into the two world wars. And it's also the same idea as the Anzac spirit. Anzac is an acronym for Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. And in World War One, the Australian and New Zealand soldiers fought together and supported each other literally to the death. In many cases, they would retrieve a wounded mate and bring them back to the trenches. Yeah. And that we gather that strong friendship, that mateship, was greatly admired even by our enemies.
Yeah. Isn't the culture in the outback a little bit anti-woman?
The media and film portrayals would suggest that. And to some extent it's true. But I think a male farmer in the outback would be the first to acknowledge the support that his wife would give, because his wife would be home cooking meals, doing all the jobs around the house that the male couldn't do because he was involved with the sheep or and my wife wants to put her bit in.
Yes, please. Yes.
Women in the outback, though, don't just stay at home and cook. The reality is you have drovers, you have the muster, you have sheep sheds, and they cook for 15, 20 people, and they have to make sure that supplies are in. And also to educate their children by open on the radio. So we have the remote and isolated children's education system, and women often are responsible for the education of their children on these remote stations, and not just their children but the drovers and that sort of thing. Also women run hotels and
we'll give the example of Sarah Henderson.
I'll give you an example of a friend I know. They come from a pioneer family from Catherine, which is in the Northern Territory, and it's the women that run the pubs, not the men. And they've been jolly good. And they've got I went to school with one of their daughters, and they now run pubs in Pine Creek, Catherine, and Darwin. Mm-hmm. And it's the women. The men are there, but it's the women that own them. Mm-hmm. So women have had a really important pioneer role in the outback. Mm-hmm. So, it's both.
Well, enough about the women of Australia. Kim was over in Denmark to look at various educational institutions.
What are your impressions? What are the things that leap out at you?
There are some big differences, and there's some very important similarities. And I think what I've found to be quite common to both student cultures is they have similar issues and values in their life. I believe there's very common. So, put aside the language difference, a Danish student could fit in quite well into an Australian school and vice versa. And the differences, I think, are differences by living in a European continent. The overall school structure is different in the way that they're grouped into gymnasiums and secondary school, primary school, but the students themselves are very much alike. And my wife, who's visited kindergartens and preschool, might like to just give her impressions.
The higher quality of staffing, the education of staffing in relation to the government being able to fund that. So they're expecting staff to be higher qualified, and they're really wanting a degree or an advanced diploma in the childcare sector, but are they prepared to pay for it? And it's all that's an issue for us.
Now, do you remember this?
His thesis in a nutshell is that there are some cultures that are more prone to social and economic development than others. One of the comparisons he made in his talk was between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, which share the same island in the Caribbean. And Haiti's cultural heritage is from West Africa, and voodoo is the dominant religion, whereas the Dominican Republic is more European. The Spaniards colonized that part of the island, and there's been a dramatic divergence in the way that those two countries have developed. And he traces that back to culture. And it doesn't sit real well with some of the people in the field, but I give him a lot of credit for taking his ideas and his evidence, and he does have his evidence and his arguments and presenting those. So that was one really important part of the conference too, that we don't just try to bring people who share our point of view and preach to the choir, as we say in the USA.
Or this.
There's great footage in this film of Elvis having just arrived in Germany wearing his army uniform and saying, "What we do here will reflect on America and our way of life." Now, I never really thought of Elvis as a citizen diplomat before, but he had that consciousness that his behavior affected people's views of the country he came from.
If you do, then you'll know that March is the time for the Intercultural Management Institute conference in Washington, D.C. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the conference, and it's set to be rather special. You can find a link to the conference, which happens on March 12th and 13th, on our blog. Looking at the program, if I were able to go, I definitely want to attend the Making It Stick session about presenting interactive learning to a cross-cultural audience. I'm also always attracted to the simulation exercises, such as another one involving the unidentifiable Asian Mr. Khan. Then there are sessions on the use of film in cross-cultural training and the intercultural aspects of medical tourism. In previous years, we've tried to give you a flavour of the conference in one or two follow-up podcasts, and I hope that we'll be able to do this again this year, as long as we can find somebody able to wield a recorder close enough to the speakers. Back in Australia, or rather with Kim Dixon in Denmark, we went through a ritual common to many intercultural travellers, that of establishing exactly what is on the plate.
Corned beef? It's salted? Yeah. Is that right?
It's not corned beef, but it's salted.
It's like that. Mm. Okay. Right. Yep.
But we call it silver
side. Silver
side, Funny names.
Yeah, well, it's right.
Mm. Mm.
And that's called Julian's Nightmare, the vets.
It's not a ham. Is
no,
a ham?
Again, silver side top of it on liver paste.
Oh, okay.
Pate, really.
Pate, yes, I understand, yeah.
It was really cultural.
Yeah.
That's the only Danish contribution to world cuisine, I think.
Just the pate?
No, not the beer, but it was for smørrebrød.
Yes.
Swedes would argue that they invented, but really not. This is Danish.
And along with the Danish pastries are very...
It's not Danish at all. It's Viennese or
is it?
German, really. Austrian.
Oh, so we've been fed the wrong information in Australia.
Because we get Australian Danish pastries. You buy an apple or a Danish pastry.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting?
It's just a misnomer.
And that about wraps things up for this show. Don't forget to get in touch if you have any comments, or you could put yourself on our Frapper map on our webpage. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on February the 20th. Until then, stay tuned, won't you?
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.